Man who is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Dear family and friends, I thank you for coming out this day to honor the memory of Laura Elizabeth Smith Pettis. Lala, as us grandkids and great-grandkids called her. Well, we come here today to seek the comfort of the Holy Spirit and the consolation of God's holy word. For the promise of God is that those who believe in Jesus have a certain hope of resurrection and eternal life. Laura Pettis was born on March 27th, 1920, and she passed into eternity on November 22nd, 2014. She was 94 years old.
Let us pray, and at the end of our prayer, we'll invite you to pray together with us as Jesus has taught His disciples to pray. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for a day such as this. We have celebrated Thanksgiving this week, and today we gather to continue to celebrate with Thanksgiving as we recognize and remember such a wonderful gift of life such as this, Laura Pettis. Father, she has blessed many through the span of her life. And Father, she has blessed us in Fort Payne First. She has blessed the community. She has blessed the church she called home, Fort Payne First United Methodist Church, for many, many years, and continued to be a friend and a prayer warrior for the church. Thank you for these family members. Thank you for these friends who have gathered here to give thanks to you for her life. And we just invite your Holy Spirit to come. Fill us, give us that same grace and peace and love and gentleness that she has carried in her heart and life, that we too may be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. And just as Jesus taught his disciples to pray, we pray together this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We know this morning as we gather that you have your fond memories of Miss Laura Pettis, and we want to take a moment to invite family and friends to come to this podium and share any of those memories you would like to share with the congregation gathered here today as we celebrate Miss Pettis' life.
Come on up here, so
up front.
I'm sure I'll volunteer for that. So I have many funny memories of Lala and Poppy too. I mean, they all include Poppy. But one of my favorite ones is that a friend and I went to visit in Fort Payne for a couple of weeks in the summer, and I think she thought that we were going to sit on the couch and watch TV. And we were in fifth grade, and that is not what we were going to do. And we brought our skateboards. And so the driveway at Terrapin Hills, to us at the time, went straight down. And we looked like we had been beaten by the time we got home. But we were covered in bruises and raspberries. I mean, and I don't know that Lila quite knew what to do with those two tomboys that brought their skateboards to come spend, to come spend 2 weeks. And then in another part of the trip, she took us to Rock City, which a lot of times was, you know, part of visiting. And she locked her keys in her car. I don't know why I remember that, except that I have so much of that in me, as that she was just thinking about other things, and all of a sudden her keys are locked in her car. So we got extra time at Rock City that day. And Star and I were very happy about that. I don't think she was. So anyway, just, I don't know why those are memories of Lala that stick in my head, but they are, and they're funny. So next brave soul.
I used to stay with them 2 days a week and during high school, two nights a week, and I'd play the piano. And what I remember is just how they had their chairs next to each other, and they spent a lot of time in the chairs watching Fox News. And but they, you know, I remember them sitting in the chairs, and just genuine companionship, you know, that they had was really inspiring to me at that time in my life. And Lala was just a strong believer. And her faith just inspired me in my relationship with God. And I just remember sitting by her chair and talking about my day.
Well, I've been nudged by my sister to come back. I try to let her advise because she saw all of it. They always know I'll talk. A couple of verses have come to mind this week since Lala's passing, and the first one jumped out of the page of my Bible at me last Sunday as I sat in our worship service, and we were studying Hebrews, but I flipped to Romans first, and the verses that jumped off the page were, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not life, not death, not height, not depth. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We're more than conquerors and all these things. And that was comforting to me, and I pray that, and I know Lala would too, that that's your comfort, that when it's your turn, when it's our turn, that we're not really separated. We're not separated from Lala, and we're never separated from God. Another verse that has been ringing with me this week is to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And I think that the reason why that's come to my mind this week is because of Lala's love for music. And I would just like to thank Lala for giving all of her musical talent to Pierce's family. But she did give me her piano. So. And one of the last things that she said to me when I talked to her about a week ago was, keep playing that piano. And I intend to do that. And I don't play anything like her. But I'm so thankful that I have that gift, that what a gift that she gave me. And then I don't know the scripture reference for this, but the verses that say, my peace I leave with you, and I don't give to you as the world gives to you. And I know that in Lala's final days, and I believe she knew that she was nearing the end of her time on earth, the thing that was so important to her was that she have peace. And I told her that I was going to pray for her to have peace, that when it was her time, she would just know that she was ready, just know that she knows. And she did. And so those verses are what's been important to me this week, as I
mourn the loss of my grandmother, but know that nothing truly separates us because we share the love of Christ.
One thing that you learn about people is when you hear them pray. Sophie and Joanne were waiting for the ambulance to take Lala from the hospital back to Monarch. And while they were waiting right there in the open, Lala started praying. Sophie shares this with me, and she prayed for about 15 minutes. And what she was praying for, that she would be in God's will. That her prayer was such that the communion that she had with the Lord, she was seeking the Lord's face and His will. To me, more was said, but to my wife Sophia, to hear her mother pray in that regard, you know, gives us all hope and joy that one day we'll be in heaven. And one thing that she said that struck, really meant a lot to me, was when Mr. Pettis was dying, she was by his bedside. I don't know the exact words, but it was something like this: in about 2 years, I'll be in heaven with you, Rayvon. And there's a lot of things we can say about Lala, but one thing that she did that means a lot to all of us who are very close in the family is she loved her family dearly. Dearly, and she did pray for them. I remember when I first met Sophie and I went to ask Mr. Pettis and Lala if I could marry their daughter. Well, what was strange about that, we had only known each other for a couple of months. And I had to chase Mr. Pettis in the backyard while he cut the grass to talk to him because he didn't want to slow down. And so I was talking to him, so I finally go in and talk to Lala. And I asked Lala later, I said, why did you say yes? I hadn't even known y'all for a couple of months. And she said, because she trusts me. Well, that's all she said, but Sophie defined it later on, was, and this is Lala, she said she had been praying for someone to marry her daughter, and she knew it was me. and so all of us here have great stories to say about Lala, but what this is a celebration that today, what she said to Mr. Pettis, to Poppy, I'll be in heaven with you. And that's where she is, resting with, in the arms of our Father and with her husband.
Hi, everybody. My name is Joanne Johnson. I was one of Miss Laura's caretakers. And Miss Laura was a sweet person, as with her family and all. But what Miss Nancy and them going through now, I went through about 3.5 months ago, my 18-year-old son. So the day that Miss Laura found out that Jalen had passed, she told me she made sure Miss Nancy get her up there. She said, if I don't get out the car, I just want to go see her. And she told me, Joanne, when I found out that Jalen had passed, I asked the Lord, why you didn't take me? Because I lived 94 good years, and he just living his life by him being 18. Miss Laura was a good person. I mean, you know, she would tell me, oh, Joanne, so I said, okay, Miss Laura, I'm going outside the door. She said, okay. All right, then she'll come back, and she'll say, I'm sorry, Joanne. Is you all right? I said, yes, ma'am. I said, I'm fine. And she said, okay. And she told me one day, she said, you know what? She said, "You my best friend." She said, "Don't you leave me." And when I was helping taking care of Mr. Ray Vaughn, she told me and Nancy and them also, that, "Look, I want you to do the same thing you did for Ray Vaughn. I want you to do it for me." But I just couldn't be there. That I went to see her that day before she passed, but I had surgery that Friday. But I just always let them know, "I love y'all, and I hope y'all don't forget about us."
I absolutely have not thought about anything to say. Is this even on? Is I will say two things. I was very proud of my mother, and my mother had two things in great supply. One was courage, and the other was a sense of humor. And pardon me for saying this, but this is not a real, you know, humor doesn't come naturally to a lot of people, especially in some places. And to be around her in that environment was a great thing. She could always find something ironic. She would make jokes that nobody else in the room would get. And frankly, let me just ask you, how many old ladies are funny? None. Ever. But she was. The last time I saw her, I went and I said, "Well, I'm not going to say how you doing, because I'm guessing not so." And she went like, "Yeah, not so hot." You know? She had an ironic sense of humor. That's an important thing. I don't know how people go through life without that. I really don't. How can you stand it? And that's something I got from her. And I'll always treasure that. And I hope my kids got that. Because, man, if you can't laugh at this stuff, what are you going to do? You know? And that's what she had. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the honesty. I appreciate the way she hated phonies. I love that. And, yes, she had a strong faith. Absolutely. She also had a strong temper. I don't think those things are mutually exclusive. So, there you go.
I went to high school with Grace and Rayvon, went to college with Rayvon. While I was in high school, I visited Poppy and Lala at their house on Forest Avenue, and there were a couple of things that I remember about that house. One was the chairs, and another was a cabinet full of Jell-O pudding and Jell-O. And that was what I was thinking about the other day, and that really jumped out in my head as to why these people had so much Jell-O in one. I've never seen so much Jell-O. I mean, not even in the grocery store. They stockpiled Jell-O. Like, if there was going to be the end of the world, they were ready with Jell-O. And then another thing is when I went to Auburn, Lala was there. And she called me one time and left me a voicemail on my phone. There were a couple of voicemails that I saved and never deleted. One was my brother called me from Iraq, and another was when Lala called me and left me that message on the phone. She had the sweetest, most peaceful voice. And I remember her opening, it was, she left dramatic pauses in there. And that was one of my favorite parts. It was, "Hello, Elizabeth? This is Laura Pettis," she said. And it was so sweet. She was asking me to do a favor for her family. And she was so interested in working to keep her family strong, from what I could see. I didn't know her very well, but I was blessed to admit her. Thank you.
You prompted me to say something, so I'm going to beat you to the ground here. I'm not going over there. One time, Mother asked me very close to the end if she wanted to make sure her family was getting along, her sisters, her two daughters and her son. And I have vowed that I'm going to make every effort. I'm not going to have negative thoughts, because three different people don't agree on everything. But I'm going to do my best to see that we show that we love each other. And the other one, oh, I do remember it now. This is a funny. I was traveling and I was in Egypt. And in the middle of the night, the phone rang. Well, excuse me. But it was Mother. And she goes, Aunt Virginia? Oh, I didn't mean to call you. I guess I just bought Charter.
I'm not much of a speaker. I didn't have any planned remarks. I regretted not having any comments when Poppy passed away, so I didn't want to let the moment pass this time. You know, I just have lighthearted memories from the perspective of a child going to Law and Poppy's house, particularly at Christmas. I remember fantastic boiled custard. You know, I remember just kids running around playing hide-and-go-seek in this great big house on the golf course, and you know, which was big to an adult but gigantic to a child. And I think to Pierce's comments about our sense of humor, I think one of the greatest examples of that is how every Christmas she would get all of the family together and play this game of what we would probably call Dirty Santa. And the best example of her sense of humor is that she didn't play. She bought all the gifts and watched us fight. So I remember that.
And we'd like to know if Uncle James still wears that animal print.
Poppy and Lala would take all of their grandchildren on special trips. And mine was to go to Gatlinburg and stay at the Smoky Bear Motel. And I guess as a serious thing, I think that one thing that hasn't been said that they taught me is the importance of loving a community. When I met one of my best friends to this day, John Crow, who is from Fort Payne, and he learned that I was the grandson of Poppy and Lala. I was in with him. And so I was also proud of them and proud of what they were and what they stood for.
I don't remember a time in my life when I didn't know the Pettis family. There are a bunch of ladies out here that could agree with me that Laura was an other mother. I see heads nodding. Yes. This memory has stayed with me. Although I shared many fun birthday parties with my friend Mary Charles, we did that many times. One of the most special birthdays I had was a party that Laura did for me because my father was in the hospital in Chattanooga recovering from surgery. And I think I was about 9 or 10, something like that. And I just thought, well, this birthday is going to come and go. But she had other plans, a cake, presents, and it was really special, and I never forgot that as one of the many examples of my other mother. Loved her dearly.
Well, thanks for telling me, everybody.
Uh,
Grace, you want to sing this with me?
Yep.
This is not the end here at this grave. This is just a hole that someone made. And every hole is meant to fill. Every heart can feel it. How our nature hates a vacuum. This is not the hardest part of all. This is just a seed that had to fall. In all our lives we till the ground till we lay our sorrow down and watch the sky for rain, knowing there's more. In this vast eternity, there is more. There is more. A thing resounds when it rings true. When it's ringing all the bells inside of you. Like a golden sky on a summer eve, your heart is tugging at your sleeve, and you cannot say why, but you know there's more.
I think it's fitting for me to have an opportunity to read Scripture today. And while I was in the hospital, I asked her if I could read Scripture to her. She said yes. I sat down beside her and held her hand. I read John, Gospel of John, chapter 1 through 14. She was there and she smiled. And as I read Scripture to her and held her in her hand, I squeezed a little bit and I felt her squeeze back. And about the fourth or fifth verse, she had closed her eyes. And as I continued to read, I watched her peacefully there, just lying there, and she went to sleep. Today's scripture reading from God's Word, John 14, 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The second reading is from 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words.
Thank you, Dad. This particular passage that Dad read today from 1 Thessalonians was one that I've read also many, many times for memorials, funerals, hero flights. That's when we put the bodies on the planes and fly them back from downrange. Grave sites. Any time that we come together to honor those who have passed away, it is so appropriate because it is a comfort to us. It is for good reason that we read it. In Christ, death is but a temporary absence. And this reminds us of this fact. Indeed, eternal life, bodily resurrection, and glorification, there are very real benefits and a hope in Jesus Christ. And such was and is Lala's hope. And such is our hope if we're Christians. In the blue book, and perhaps y'all saw it out there in the parlor that Aunt Gigi and Lala had put together, they made that back in 2010. It shows a short history of Lala's life, including pictures. They're wonderful to look at if you haven't seen it. But in it, they make a statement. They say, what a great legacy she will leave someday. Truly. Truly. Lala's legacy is a wife and a mother who had a deep love for the Lord as one that is beyond measure. Gathered here in her honor, our Christian family indeed is a solid testimony to the truth of this. We are Lala's and Poppy's legacy. And it's more than just as physical descendants. It's spiritually as well. Now, much has been said about the beauty of Lala. What a beautiful woman she was. And this womanly beauty was with her throughout all the ages of her life. Yet she was doubly blessed. She possessed a radiance, an internal beauty due to the light that shone within her as a daughter of the Lord. Indeed, this beauty was of the inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight, as Peter writes in 1 Peter 3:3-4. And Lala had many talents. Foremost of these was her very sharp mind. She was a brilliant woman, and she constantly honed it as a voracious reader. She possessed a wonderful music talent, which she first used in the Lord's service at the age of 10, playing in her church. And she spent a great deal of time caring for others. Many here testify to that fact. And her caring and her love for others, well, her doing things for others was a way that she showed you her love. And she also had a worthy social grace about her. Some might say, and rightly so, that Lala was a very proper woman. Now, we make a mistake when we underestimate the value of this characteristic. In her propriety, she honored her husband, whom she loved. And as a godly wife, she showed this. 1 Corinthians 11 speaks to this. She honored Poppy before the Lord and, well, among all who knew her. As we knew her, we remember too that Lala possessed a will of iron. And sometimes due to this, her actions could be interpreted as being hard. And sometimes feelings were hurt. But what if she had been a fragile flower? If so, she likely would have broken long ago. Her strength was a gift. A gift. Yet even as strong as she was, difficulties in life proved to her that she could not make it upon her own strength. And she had Poppy, and Poppy indeed was a very strong man. But even the strongest man can only do so much. Lala relied upon the Lord's strength in life. She would testify that it was His strength that got her through. The Lord saw her through the years while Poppy was at war. And it was due to the Lord's grace that the discipline of her children was such that it imprinted upon them and has affected their children and grandchildren. It was the Lord's, because of the Lord, that she was able to love Poppy with a love that was so palpable that it would last through 71 years of marriage. And Poppy loved her too in the Lord with that same powerful love. And that any who knew her, and any that knew Him, can testify to that. Good times, bad times, and sickness and in health, and youth, and indeed in old age. And it was the Lord who gave her 94 years of blessed life upon this earth. In faith, Lala sought to live according to the Lord's will. It was a discipleship that would last until the day that she died. And shortly before she went to be with the Lord, in her prayer, she testified to the deepest desire, whether she lived or whether she died, she wanted it to be according to the will of the Lord. Lala was a woman of prayer. And who can put a value on the prayers of a loving mother? She knew her children well. And at times she was concerned. Gigi, Mom, Pierce. Lala often went into the very
throne room of God Himself praying on your behalf because she loved you so much. You must know that she did this. You must know it. And Lala, of course, she prayed for all of us, all her family, because we were all in her mind, and she prayed for those who were on her mind. And this godly legacy of Laura Elizabeth Smith Pettis has been passed down to us, her family, and her friends in Christ. Like Lala hoped when Poppy passed, so we too hope, as only those in Christ can understand. We have an assured hope, one that is confirmed and sealed in the blood of Christ on His cross, in His death, burial, and His resurrection. And we too, we shall see Lala again. But when we see her, she will not be hindered by the frailties and sufferings that she faced in life, the ravages of being a two-time cancer survivor, suffering from painful osteoporosis and being frightfully frail at the end of her life. All of that will be gone. And 1 Corinthians 15 tells us a little bit about how Lala is going to be at the resurrection. Glorified and perfect. It says, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or some grain. So is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Just as we have borne the image of man of dust, Adam, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven, Jesus. Imperishable, glorified, powerful, spiritual, like Jesus, so will be all the family of God. God works through families. It's a covenantal thing. Generation passes on the Word of God to the next generation. And that next generation hears and they believe. And they pass it on and so on. Now Lala and I, we shared a hobby. I've talked to some of y'all about it. Indeed, our last conversation, which was just a few weeks ago before her health began to decline, was along this topic. It was about family. Family history and genealogy. Some of y'all know that that was something that she really, really enjoyed. And it was just amazing to me in talking to Lala about how sharp her memory was about these details of family that she had researched decades ago. She remembered names, dates, places, all sorts of details and tidbits. It was very helpful for me, or for me as I was... You know, this is an interest of mine to hear it straight from her. Particularly, she spoke of sitting on the porch of her grandmother when she was a little girl. Her grandmother, Laura Sophie Davis Smith, whom she loved to visit, and she told me a little bit about the stories that her grandmother would tell her about family. And well, one particular thing, and I don't know if how much y'all know about this, a particular line of our family, and I guess it's appropriate to mention it since it's the day after Thanksgiving, is that we're descended through her, through Richard Warren, who was on the Mayflower at Plymouth. And that's a particular line that was interesting to her, and I've been digging in it quite a bit. She also encouraged me, by the way, and I'll hit y'all up on this later, to write a family history. So if I ask you for some information, I'm letting you know now. Lala encouraged me to do it. Okay? All right. And I have to say, indeed, as I've researched and as I've studied our family history, going back all the way to the very beginning of the settlement of this country, even back into the old world, and for generation after generation, it's been amazing to me how we have descended from people who were Christians. Legacy.
On that day, Jesus shall return. The trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise, and those alive shall join with them, transformed. The new heavens and the new earth will replace the old. And all of us who know and love Christ will share in the blessing of Christ's kingdom for eternity. What a tremendous family reunion that is to come. With this great hope in Jesus Christ, we have a responsibility. And it's the responsibility of us to pass it on to those who would come after, like Lala and Poppy did for us. We pass it on to our children and our children's children, the legacy of the gospel. It's a legacy that was given to us, and one that we, before the Lord, must pass on. We do not deserve our salvation because of any righteousness of our forefathers or our foremothers, but we receive salvation by grace through faith as a gift of God. And we must ensure that this message is passed on. And we must model, like Lala modeled for us, we must model what the life of a disciple of Christ is like for those who would follow us. We honor and we remember our beloved mother in Christ, Lala, whose life was an example for us. We do not mourn like those who have no hope, but mourn because she is not with us now. If you are a Christian, you will see her again. And then together we shall rejoice as the whole family of God in Christ. Let us pray. O Lord our God, comfort us in our grief. Comfort those who mourn. Let your promises in the gospel give us consolation in the fact that to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And that to part and be with Christ is very much better. For we know that there shall be no more suffering or pain or tears, and that those who depart in Christ are in the fullness of joy with pleasures beyond them forevermore. Lord, enable us to remember Lala's virtues. May we seek her example in love and friendship. Make us aware of the shortness and uncertainty of life, and bring us all to make peace with you through Christ. In the weeks and months ahead, Lord God, we pray that you will provide for every need of our family in this, our time of loss. And it's in Christ Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Grace.
This is just another hymn that a couple of people wanted to hear. So, Abide With Me.
Darkness deepens.
Receive the benediction. Please rise. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good to do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.